If we have not yet met, my name is Ethan, and I am on staff here at Living Waters Church, and I have the opportunity to be a part of our youth network. More specifically, I'm a part of our MIDS department here at the church, which means I get to hang out with students in grades 7 and 8. Now, if you've been tracking with us in our For Example series, you know that today is now our Student Sunday. And if you were here with us last week, you would have heard Kirsten speak on what it meant to be a good spouse and what marriage looked like as Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Now, I was sitting beside a couple in the 10:30 service last week, and it turns out that after the service, they actually went out and got engaged. Now, I don't know if I can top that magic that Kirsten brought last week, but if you leave today feeling a little more youthful, that's a win in my books. Now, I was really excited in preparing today's message, and one of the big reasons I was excited for that was because most of you watching today or listening today have been teenagers. And if you're not yet a teenager, maybe you're counting down the days till you yourself get to live those teenage glory years. Now, being a teenager often accompanies itself with many memorable moments. I mean, our brains aren't fully developed yet, so there has to be some good stories that come along with that. Now, I'm going to be sharing with you today a story from my life in my early teenage years. I was about 13 years old, and I had a fascination for rap. I wanted to become a rapper. In my spare time, I would write raps down with my friends such as Tornado and Winter Highway, Zackie Chan and SOS. But none of those raps quite flew off the shelves in the same way as my number one hit did. My number one hit, you ask? Well, it was called Steak. And although I remember every word to the rap and could rap it for you right now, I prefer to show it to you in my 13-year-old glory days. So here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ethan. I am the one hit wonder. This is my song, Steak. Steak, steak, juicy steak, jerk muscle. This is a copyright thing. No, 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 it is not. We just took cooking steak in a pot. BBQ, however you like it. Steak is the best, no lie about it. Steak will top, burgers on the grill, pizza and panagora, Chinese meal. If you had to listen 1 to 20, steak would have won it already. You get the point. Steak is the best. This is the end. Steak is the best. Word.
Yes, that was me. And if you're anything like me, you're probably thinking to yourself right now, man, how hasn't a record label already scooped that guy up? Now, believe me, they've tried, but I'd much prefer to be with you here today. Now, let's hop into today's passage of scripture here in Ephesians. But before we do that, I'd like to ask you a question. Whenever I speak at the Youth Network, I always like to begin by asking a question. And that question for you today is this. What have you been listening to? Now, I'll let you decipher that how you may, but the question is, what have you been listening to? Now, here's our passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. In reading over Ephesians 5 and 6 and bringing out themes and knowing how it related to students, one of the themes that came to life to me was the word listen. And we're going to be unpacking that theme a little bit more today. But before we do that, I'd like to go over some of the historical context of the book of Ephesians. Now, I know Rick shared a number of weeks back on some of this, but this is helpful information as we go into our message today. Now, the Church of Ephesus and the people of Ephesus, they were a very Greek and Roman-styled people. There was a lot of worship to Greek and Roman gods during that time. Now, when Paul came to the city of Ephesus, he had a very effective ministry there, and he saw the church and his mission grow there over 2.5 years of him being there. So now, 4 or 5 years later, we have the book of Ephesians, which is now a letter from Paul while he's in prison, writing back to that church in Ephesus that he ministered to all those years ago. Now, the first time we read about Paul going to Ephesus was in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. And Paul's going there to meet with the disciples, the early believers of the church. And this is what it has to say. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived there at Ephesus. There, he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Now, the disciples, or these early believers, were not to blame for not yet knowing about the Spirit. For this was Paul's ministry, and coming to the people of Ephesus was to share the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, to allow people to have a greater understanding and a greater knowledge of who Jesus was. But I'm sure we can find ourselves in a place similar to the disciples, or similar to those early believers who have not yet heard. So my first point that comes from that is this: have we opened our ears to listen? Now, as students and adults alike, I think it's an important question to ask. How much are we missing because we have not opened our ears to listen, or more importantly, we aren't opening our ears to hear what God has to say to us? Now, God is a master communicator. He created each one of us, which means he knows how to connect and communicate with each one of us in a personal way. I had a teacher use this illustration once. You can picture yourself along in this illustration if you'd like. Now, picture yourself in a car. You have your friends or your family, and you're driving down the highway. And as you're driving down, you notice a billboard to the right. And it's this big billboard for a Subway sandwich. Now, the driver might notice what kind of sandwich it is. It might be a cold cut combo, one of their favorite sandwiches. Meanwhile, the passenger, who's been giving directions all day, notices what exit they have to take to find this Subway. Others in the car might notice the price of the sandwich, the color of the board, or the ad agency that put that ad together. The purpose of this illustration is to see God as this billboard. Now, stick with me. Imagine that billboard being God. Hundreds of thousands of people pass by it every day. Now, that billboard, or God in this illustration, is the same to all people. But the way in which that billboard connects to people individually is different. And that's same with God. God is constant and true to all people, but because he is a personal creator, he connects with each of us in a personal way. But if we are not finding and we are not seeking the ways to hear God's voice, we will not hear that. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. We need to find out what pleases the Lord. This is a call to us to listen and to seek what he is saying to us. See, we must recognize Jesus' call in our life to be disciples. I think too often we disconnect salvation and discipleship. While the truth is those things go hand in hand. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and when we've experienced that personal salvation in our lives, we aren't called to be saved and stay the same, to stand still and do nothing, but we're called into discipleship with Jesus. We're called to be his followers, following the things that he's teaching and guiding us in. But just as it said in Ephesians, we need to find out what pleases the Lord. See, being a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, means that we need to listen to Jesus. We need to seek and find him in our lives. Set time aside to open our ears to what he is saying to us. That brings us into our next point. And our next point is this. And it was the question that I asked you at the beginning. What are we listening to? See, as a 13-year-old teenager who had my sights set on a rapping career, I was listening to many voices around me. I was listening to my friends as they encouraged me to write raps. I was listening to my friend Mateo as he filmed me and uploaded my video. I was listening to people at school as they had their own opinions or things to say after I had put my video out online. See, I did what I did because of what I was listening to. I made the choice I made because of the influence around me. Now, what we listen to will shape us into the people we are. And this is Paul's reminder to the people in Ephesus in the letter of Ephesians. And now I'm going to be going through a couple examples of scripture that we might have already heard from previous weeks, but bear with me as I go through them. So this is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says this: "Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We were then reminded last week in Kirsten's message about what it means to be filled by the Spirit and how that is a main point of this letter to the church of Ephesus. And you can find this in chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul reminds us how we are supposed to listen and live in accordance in relationship with Christ. And one of the things that I really draw out of verse 19 there is the importance of being filled with the Spirit in our lives. And I like that they share the ways in which that happens, sharing psalms and hymns and songs. And we see the Spirit of God work in miraculous ways through those things. But it made me ask the question, are we people who are filled with the Spirit and are talking in those ways, lifting one another up in psalm, in hymn, or singing song together in community? Now, each teenager has their own example and own experience of what high school or middle school might be like, whether that was a good experience or a bad experience. But I'm sure many of their experiences have been dictated by what's been told to them or what's been said about them. Being unified under the Spirit, we are called to speak life over everyone. We are called to speak life over our students, over our families, and over the people watching or listening to this with us today. Now, the truth is we live in a culture with so much noise. There's political unrest, there's war, there's hurt, and there's brokenness. It feels dark and overwhelming at times. But I'm always very encouraged by Paul's closing remarks in chapter 6. He just encourages us to pray together in spirit and in unity. This is what it says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What are we listening to and how are we praying for that? How are we praying together as the body of Christ, lifting up the things on our heart to him? This brings us into our final point today. And that final point is, what will we do with what we've heard? As Christians today, we know the truth of who Jesus is. We know the gospel message, but sometimes that word gospel gets lost in context or we forget the significance of what that means. Gospel simply meant in the Greek New Testament, it was this word euangelion. And that just meant good announcement. Now, Isaiah reminded the Israelite people in the Old Testament of a Messiah that would come, that would overturn the corrupt and broken kingdoms that the Israelite people had to face. Now, the Israelite people might have had a different idea of who the Messiah might be when he would come. They had this idea of maybe someone that would come and overthrow all their oppressors in a fierce and mighty and strong way. And although Jesus did that, it was a much different representation than what the Israelite people saw. Jesus came and he saved the brokenhearted and he did turn those corrupt kingdoms upside down. But he did it in a way in showing love, dying on the cross for our sins, which allowed for passage to relationship with us. This is that euangelion. This is that good news. And as Christians today, we get to know and we get to abide in the truth of that. So the gospel requires us to make a decision, not only for ourselves, but for the people around us. The gospel story reshapes our story. So what will we do with what we've heard? We have the insight that is being taught to us through Bible, through devotion, through time of community with other believers. But if that insight doesn't turn into anything else, that insight isn't worth it. We need to allow for that insight and that time of personal devotion with Christ to turn into application into our own lives and allow that to transform the way we live. Jesus is calling us and is allowing us to have that insight into our lives, but is calling us into greater transformation through him. Now, we had arts camp just a few weeks back here at the church, and it was an incredible time to see about 130 kids running around, having fun, learning about Jesus, building relationships with people around them. Now, the theme verse for arts camp was out of John 7:38, and if you are a part of arts camp, feel free to read this along with me right now. Here it is. "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." See, this is one of Jesus' calls to his disciples, to have a living water flow from within them that would impact and touch the people around them. Now, as I mentioned, arts camp was a fantastic week. We had many children here learning about Jesus and growing in relationship with him. But one of my favorite moments from arts camp was being able to watch one of our student leaders lead. Luis, who you maybe you've met earlier, was a grade 9 student who had an opportunity to lead at one of our rotation groups. Now, in that group, Luis shared some really personal things in his life. He shared some things that he was experiencing and walking through when he was the age of many of these arts camp campers. Now, the beautiful thing about Luis sharing his story is he shared in such an authority. These students were having so much fun. They're filled up in sugar and it was loud. But as soon as Luis spoke, you could hear a pin drop in that room because of the authority in which he was speaking out of. Luis went on to share about the way that he found peace in relationship with Jesus. And he was able to share that with the students. And I was very proud of Luis for doing that. Because Luis had experienced the insight of personal devotion, personal time with Jesus, and he allowed that to go through him and lead into transformation of the lives of those around him. It was a beautiful expression of what Jesus calls us to do as his disciples. See, we aren't called to be stagnant in our relationship with Jesus. We aren't called to stand still or be content with where we're at. But we're called to have those living waters flow from within us. And the life that comes with that is immense in a relationship with Jesus. Another example of someone who listened to the call in their lives and went out and did something was the founder of Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, Lauren Cunningham. And he recites this in his book, "Is That Really You, God?" This was a vision or a call from God that he got when he was in his 20s. And I'm going to read that out for you now because it's a really beautiful picture of then what came to be in his ministry. So here it is. "I was looking at a map of the world, only the map was alive and moving. I could see all the continents and waves were crashing onto their shores. Each wave went onto a continent, then receded. Then came up further until it covered the continent completely. The waves became young people, kids my age and even younger, covering all the continents of the globe. They were talking to people on street corners and outside bars. They were going from house to house and preaching the gospel. Everywhere they went, they were caring for people." As I said, Lauren was 20 years old when he received this call from God, and him and his wife, Darlene Cunningham, later went on to found Youth with a Mission because of that call and that vision that they received from God. It's another great example of people doing and receiving what they've heard from Christ and allowing that to go out and transform their lives. In closing today, I want to share a personal story from my life with you. Back in April of 2019, I had the opportunity to travel to Indonesia. A group of about 10 of us had the opportunity to actually travel with Youth with a Mission. And we got to visit a family in a small town of Gianyar, Indonesia. Now, the purpose of our team visiting this family was they were the only Christian family in this village. We were able to go there and encourage them in faith and encourage them in the work that they were doing. The people and families and neighbors they were surrounded by all had different beliefs than them. Some animistic, some Hindu, and you could feel the spiritual heaviness and spiritual darkness surrounding that neighborhood. Another opportunity that we had to do while we were in that village was go and meet with some of the neighboring families, build a relationship with them, and just simply get to know them. But as we got to that village, we were unaware that they spoke a different dialect of Indonesian. We had our translator who translated Indonesian into English, but we were left in a place where we needed another translator who would translate that dialect into Indonesian. None other than the 13-year-old daughter of the Christian family we were visiting offered up her services to help translate for us as we went out to meet other people. We went down and got to meet with a family down the road, and as soon as we got there, we had the opportunity to meet with the matriarch of the family, 91-year-old Letuk. And I'll remember Letuk very clearly to this day because Letuk explained to us of back pain that she'd been experiencing and rashes over her body. In conversation with her and through translation with both of our translators, we asked if we could take some time to pray for her. Letuk accepted, and we spent time praying for her. It was a beautiful moment of the Spirit as these prayers were being translated from English into Indonesian, Indonesian into this other dialect. But above all that, we could feel the work of the Holy Spirit in that moment. After some time of praying, Letuk declared that she no longer had pain in her back, and we could visibly see the rashes on her arms and body were no longer there. It was a beautiful representation of the Spirit working in unifying ways. Letuk went on in that moment to accept Jesus into her heart as her Lord and Savior, and it was such a beautiful thing to see. Now, I share that story with you today in large part because of the work of the Spirit, but also because of our 13-year-old translator. Now, she had her own idea of what the week might have looked like. She probably wasn't planning on helping us translate what we were doing there, but because of the gifts and the calling that God had put on her life, she stepped into a place where she got to see the incredible works of the Spirit. Now, Paul alludes to, throughout Ephesians, this new humanity in the Spirit of Christ, a unity across the body of believers that accepted everyone, and accepted everyone at that time, both Jew and Gentile, and this was enormous for the church. And this is enormous for us today, this unity that we can experience through the Spirit of Christ. See, God has put a call on us as the body of Christ, a body that doesn't see race, sex, or age in the way that the world sees it, in a way that can be divisive or hurtful or draw lines. But God calls us to see past those things, see the ways in which we are unified under his Spirit. See, spiritual evil will try to undermine the unity. But when the body of Christ remains together, unified in the Spirit, it doesn't give space for that. So, church, my encouragement to you today is this. Whether you're a student, an adult, a child, or a senior, build this unity in the Spirit. Encourage one another in faith and the way that you walk in that. We can have a team where we keep each other accountable. We can propel each other to Jesus in new and beautiful ways, and we can share what God has spoken to us with those around us. So, church, I leave you with these two questions today. Is what you're listening to from Jesus, and how is that unifying his church? Thank you.